Wilson Pickett.
Go, go. Daddy, go, go.
Yeah.
Simeon Pickett, ladies and gentlemen. The Silver Apples. And wait till the midnight hour. This is me going over here where they can see me. Yes. Yes, indeed. Oh, man. We really got a kick out of that.
We Irene just wanted to show we can do it. Somebody else.
Yeah. It's fun.
I've always loved to do Wilson Pickett. I mean, that man has just got something.
Yeah.
And even, you know, with bands before Silver Apples, when I was just a straight singer walking in clubs and stuff, I always insisted that we do Wilson Pickett. I just loved his stuff.
Yeah.
Always have loved it.
What's next? Soul Man?
Sam and Dave. Yeah, we'll go get them, and then we'll do Otis Redding after that.
Speaking of other people's material, to reverse that flow, what do you think of other people doing, using your material, sometimes sampling your material, and covering your material?
First of all, it's a huge compliment. You can't imagine what it was like in the beginning when everybody hated my music. And now, with people apparently liking it all around the world, it's a huge rush for me. I thoroughly enjoy it. And a lot of stuff is out there on the shelves that was not cleared in any way. It's just out there. And you know, it bothers me a little bit that nobody ever tried to contact me to find out if, you know, if it was still under copyright, or which it all is. I'm not angry with anybody about it. I just wish that in the future, maybe they can say it here, in the future, if you want to do my stuff, I love it. And I'll even help you with it. I'll talk you through it if you can't understand the words or something. I'm a mushmouth. I know that. But just give me credit. You know, I don't want money out of your pocket. Just give me some credit. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that's my music that is claimed by other people.
Yeah.
And some people made some big bucks off of it somewhere down the line.
I know they did. I know they did.
That's all I care about is, like, you know, if it's a big buck situation, give me credit. Give me a dollar, you know.
Yeah. Well, people
six
will.
Six pack of beer.
People will get over, and sometimes it takes a legal action, I guess, to go and reclaim it. But I guess that's the worst thing. I mean, you're very good-natured about that. Everybody's pretty crazy over publishing rights and ready to litigate and ready to go.
Well, maybe if I hadn't been so dissed in the beginning, I'd have a different attitude. But I'm sort of like enjoying it now.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels good to have the music liked. I mean, we performed in some very hostile situations back then. I mean, we'd go out into the hinterlands, and one time we were actually chased down the street by a bunch of guys in a pickup truck waving a shovel trying to whack us.
Really?
Yeah, saying, get out of town with your goddamn hippie music, you know?
Yeah, bring a guitar next time, yeah. Goddamn it.
Play some Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, really, we've had some pretty heavy times. So, now to have it being embraced, I mean, I'll take it.
Is that the closest call that you've ever had? Or is there a juicy story of bloodshed that you have?
Actually, no blood has ever been shed. But that was the closest. Those people were waving the business end of a shovel out of that truck. And we were running like hell. And if we hadn't ducked between some parked cars and, you know, gotten on the sidewalk and gotten around and gotten through an alleyway and made our way clear, I think they probably would have pounded us one with
it. Hey, love fingers. Hey, whirly bird.
You funny-looking people with all your hair and shit.
Yeah. What's with the hair?
Yeah, what is that?
Well,
so it's not a big deal that people are doing it.
And how about your music has subsequently influenced lots of people since all of a sudden becoming popular. I don't know exactly when it became popular. I mean, there was probably, you perceived no or very little interest in the music, but it lives on to be the kind of the holy grail for people. I mean, a lot of people around here at this radio station have always been interested in your music and always wondered what happened before you resurfaced. And a lot of people actually did own the records and own them way back when. and but never really would talk to people about it, and they didn't know what they were talking about. But lots of bands subsequently have also been more or less, you know, influenced, maybe not just by Silver Apples, but influenced certainly by the use of oscillators and the use of that swirling sound that you guys were really pioneering back in those days. So that's got to be a good feeling.
Sure. Yeah, it's a feeling that finally has come around. You know, this was not something that we were doing just for a lark. We were quite serious about what we were doing. We really felt that the oscillator was as valid an instrument as a violin or a trombone or anything else. And it's not just a lab instrument. It makes noises that are used in labs for testing this or that piece of equipment.
Right.
But if you put it in the right hands, it can be a musical instrument.
Yeah.
And that's been sort of like our message from the beginning. And it's now not nearly as weird an idea, which is kind of nice.
Not only that, it's really embraced. I mean, the sounds of those oscillators is really kind of a going thing. But you're not alone in the far outness of your music and not being accepted at first, particularly in the use of electronics like Perubo in their early days, mm-hmm. who used those EML synthesizers and everything. Same thing. I mean, they had some hard times. They were pelted with objects and widely hated. Suicide never even made a record until they were already performing around New York for 7 years, and it was very hard for them to get a gig. They'd go, so at one time, 2 and 3 years between gigs, couldn't even get a gig because the sound was so far out. And as Alan Vega said when he came out here to WFMU, and he mentioned that, you know, people would say, "Where's the guitars?" People would get up on stage, and you guys, of course,
we got that all the time.
Yeah, guitar, bass, and drums. I mean, it's like, you're wearing the uniform. You got the bell bottoms and the flower shirt, the headband. But we want our guitars. You know, it was just really as much orthodoxy in the so-called counterculture, I guess, in those days, as outside of it.
Yeah, it was billing itself on the one hand as being so free-flowing, free love, free pot, free this, free that, you know, free minds. And at the same time, they were being extremely narrow in their acceptance or in their
expectations.
I mean, they didn't think of us as being joyous innovators, you know, whoopee, look what they're doing, isn't this wild? It was almost like we were sacrilegious because we didn't have the rock thing.
Right. It's, synthesizers.
It was disappointing.
Were dishonest somehow since they were synthesizers. They were synthetic. They were plastic, man.
Yeah.
And we all know from Dustin Hoffman, plastic is bad. Well, what do you say I play a tune from a different band.
That sounds cool.
Then you guys can come back and perform another number.
Already.
Okay. This is from a record that came out a few years ago by this band from, they're from Europe somewhere. I used to know. I don't know. They're from Copenhagen. I don't know. The name of the band is Laika, and the name of the record is Silver Apples of the Moon. And they show their homage to Silver Apples on this very recording. This is the opening cut from Laika, the album Silver Apples of the Moon, and let's hear Sugar Daddy, and then we'll be back live with the band. Laika from the Silver Apples of the Moon, the name of the record, a title that they copped from a piece of electronic music by Morton Subotnick, and clever title as it invokes silver apples as well. And speaking of which, live they are in the studio here on WFMU. We have the band, and we have Simeon on synthesizer, on vocals, on oscillators. We have Michael Lerner on the drums. Ba-dump. Arrow Kleeman on the bass keyboard. and Christian Hawkins on keyboard and a sampler. And they are here. Howdy, boys.
Hi.
You guys are going to be playing live right now. And Simeon, why don't you tell us about what you're about to do?
We are going to do, as I mentioned to you earlier, but I didn't tell you this, I don't think. This is something we did just for WFMU. We may do it outside of WFMU. If it sounds good, we may do it again. But we did this afternoon just for you guys.
I'm all of Twitter.
I'm sure.
Especially the Twitter.
What it is, it's an old song. It's off the first record. And on the first record, there were two verses. It's a song called Misty Mountain. We decided at some point, we recorded this song, it was last year, we recorded it with members of the band called Henry Dark. It's an all-female band that they play all around New York. And the two singers in the band are Brooke and Brooke, and I thought it would be fun if we just did a sort of a very simplified version of the song, and just did it almost a cappella, and as it turned out, we did do it a cappella. And I felt that the song should be longer than just the two verses that was on the record. So I contacted the poet that wrote the poem. Her name is Eileen Llewellyn, and she wrote this on this record, and she wrote I Have Known Love on the other record. I contacted her. She's a married lady, has a beautiful little kid, and, you know, is a mom. And so she's like light years away from this scene. I told her we would like to have another verse. And she said, well, I did write another verse and you didn't use it. And I said, well, cool. Send it to me. So she has email. So she sent it to me over the email. And she included a fourth verse that she wrote just for now. So we have the new verse that was written in 1966 or whenever she wrote it, and we have a fourth verse that was written in 1996. I defy anyone to tell the difference in, like, frame of mind, concept. I really don't know which verse was which. So what we're going to do tonight, we rehearsed it this afternoon, ran through it a couple of times, so we're going to try it. It's not going to sound like obviously the a cappella version that we've been doing with Brooke and Brooke, but it's going to sound closer to what we did on the record, but it's not going to sound just like the record because since we're adding new verses, we thought we might as well do a little bit of rearranging and make a fresh new approach to the song. So it's got some elements of the way we did it in the old days, but it's basically a new interpretation of Misty Mountain with the two extra verses thrown in the middle.
Right.
So it's sandwiched by the two old verses.
The,
so basically that's what the song is, and that's what we've done for you guys, and so here we go.